to go on full line or online fully with it. And what I'm wondering is if they, at a certain point, thought to themselves, well, this is not going to go, and the best we can do is to, from a negotiating standpoint, maintain howsoever within our rights, we can maintain that we are going to open it, but we really don't. You know, in their mind, they figure they really don't intend to, but figuring that they did have a right to maintain that they were going to open it and to try to maximize, and it was within their rights from a negotiating standpoint, to maximize how they could get out of. How they could get out of it, they weren't just going to drop it and say, okay, well, we won't open it. And if that's the case, at what point that became apparent to them?
Well, I think it was getting more and more apparent over the last decade, certainly. I know on that June 3rd, whatever year that was, late 70s sometime, June 3rd, where something on the order of 600 people got arrested at Shoreham, it seemed at that moment that the plant could never possibly open. All those people came by, and so much publicity in the pouring rain, and the mood was just so positive and upbeat. We knew we were going to win. We knew somehow we were going to win. But in the years after that, it kind of fizzled, and it seemed as if, well, we were going to be defeated again. You know, you never win these kind of battles. But the fact of the matter is, we won, and I don't see enough of that in the newspapers. I don't see enough celebration, because the people of Long Island really have won.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
That's something that really should be shouted from Bald Hill, because never before, as far as I can see, has a population managed to stop something like this.
Yes,
big business, you know, big business, and the huge mega structure of a corporation like Loco was stopped by the individual people of Long Island. And, you know, who cares right now if Loco is still around? Who cares if our rates go up? The fact is, we stop something that can kill us.
Right.
And our children and their children and all that kind of thing. We should be very happy right now.
Yes.
We should be sending off a pizza and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, yes. The proportion of it is actually so striking.
And I'm proud to be a Long Islander again.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting kind of upset because, you know, they're building so many things around here and destroying things. But we've spoken out. We've done something that's incredibly smart. And the whole rest of the country and the world is going to look at us. And we won't be known for the garbage barge anymore.
That's
we'll be known for protecting ourselves.
I think that's a very good point. And What I do hope it does, in line with what we were discussing before about technology, or, you know, let's say the tail wagging the dog, so to speak, that this might signal a turning point or some new inspiration for people who are fighting similar battles, that it's not necessarily hopeless, and that when enough people persist, they can accomplish something on this order. And I think it is very life-affirming, actually, that
it's downright
it's
religious.
Turning a tide, turning back a certain tide, as it were, and avoiding a potential horrendous victimization.
Let's hear from some people out there that have been involved in this, or that have just been watching it. I know, you know, people on Long Island have been thinking of nothing else for the last decade, maybe even two decades. Give us a call, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, can I have pepperoni pizza to go?
Pepperoni pizza to go.
Yeah.
You got the wrong number. We spell our name danger. however that goes. But,
yes,
you know, I don't think any pizza places are open.
Are we sponsored by Looseners?
Besides that, the building's closed, so even if we did order a pizza, we wouldn't be able to get in here.
That's true.
But, you know, Don't worry about us, folks. I mean, we're locked in here in a building that's probably as solid as Shoreham, and we can't get out. But there's no reason for you not to have fun.
That's right.
And not to celebrate this red letter day, red letter week.
That's right. This reminds me of a terrific bumper sticker. I'm sure a number of people that are listening are aware of, relating to Shoreham. I saw it within the last couple of years. Matter of fact, I saw it on Nichols Road, going east on Nichols Road, just rather going east on Route 347, just before turning left on to Nichols Road to come up here one day, and I was in behind a car at a red light, and the bumper sticker on the back of the car said, "Stuck in traffic? Think about Shoreham."
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Who can ever forget on the Northern State Parkway, there's that no nuke sign on the bridge with the backwards N. I think I've seen that 100,000 times. Mm-hmm. I've also seen on the bridges on the Long Island Expressway, underneath every overpass, it says something similar to that bumper sticker you saw, "Think of Shoreham,"
mm-hmm.
or "Rush Hour Evacuation," with a question mark after it.
Mm-hmm.
And those little things, they helped. They made us think.
Definitely.
You know something ironic? For the first time in my life, last Monday, I woke up and I heard the sound of a siren, a Shoreham evacuation siren. I'd never heard it before. It was way off in the distance, and it was going for about 3 minutes straight without going down or up or anything, just a straight siren. And I think that's what woke me up, because I had never heard anything like that before. I guess the siren worked in my case, but for most people I know, they don't even notice it. And then I read later in the paper that they were being tested that day. Now, it's incredible to me that LOCO would be testing these things at this late stage in the game. You know, it's obvious the plant is going to be closing. Mm-hmm. Why are they even bothering, mm-hmm. you know, to do this? It's kind of funny, but I'm glad I heard the siren, because I've been seeing those things pop up all over the place, and I've never heard one.
Hmm. Maybe under law they had to, as long as officially they were still in control of the plant, before the agreement was reached. Well, was it reached before or after the announcement? I mean, did you hear the siren before or after?
It was imminent.
You know, then maybe it was just... Well, maybe that's why they were ringing the siren, to warn the stockholders of LILCO that the
plant
wasn't going to be...
Well, now, I wonder what they're going to do with the sirens. You think they're going to chop them all down? Have you seen the sirens? Have you actually seen a Shoreham siren?
I think I've seen picture of one.
Well, they started around Port Jefferson, and then they're everywhere, mm-hmm. all throughout Yaphank and mm-hmm. Shoreham and out to Riverhead. And you just see these big poles with a siren, the kind that go around in circles.
Uh-huh.
And they're usually on the road, and they're just everywhere. And they're scary. They're really scary.
Yes.
You have to think to yourself,
right.
if they build this thing and you have to make sirens and, you know, warn people and evacuate, is it worth it? That's
right.
The basic question I've always asked. Is it worth it for that? And I've never been able to justify it. Our number is 632-6901. We're talking about Shoreham. We're kind of giving it a memorial, a well-deserved memorial. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes, I was just wondering, this agreement that's just been reached is strictly between LOCO and New York State. What
uh-huh.
about the NRC aspect of it?
Well, you know, I think the NRC is going to have a lot of trouble going through with the licensing if the state government, the county government, and the people don't want anything to do with the plant, and if the power company itself mm-hmm. is willing to destroy the plant. The NRC would have to be a bunch of fools to come chasing after the power company and say, you know, you have to run this plant. Why should they even care at this point? It's not their money.
Well, I don't know about that, but about national security and all that bit.
Well, how does a nuclear power plant enhance national security?
Not now, not at this particular moment, but perhaps later in the future.
Uh-huh.
They feel that the plant will be valuable to whatever they, you know,
yeah.
however they plan to use it.
Well, in my opinion, I think it would be nothing but bad publicity if they tried, and I think they will just wind up accepting this. Keep in mind, no new nuclear plants have been licensed in the last, 10 years?
Yes, but LOCO is still undergoing their licensing process, aren't they? At this moment, that's why they had the sirens going this last week.
Right, but the NRC hasn't, as far as I can see, been tripping over itself to get the plant licensed. They have been issuing violations to LOCO for various safety inadequacies. I don't think they would take a very unpopular stand at this point. There's just no advantage to it.
Well, let's hope not.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you very much. Good night.
632-6901 is our phone number. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I'm Mike from Queens, right? And I have a house in the island.
Uh-huh.
And this, I don't like the Shoreham thing, because I like, you know, the water, and I don't know, I think it screwed up the water on the beach by Shoreham.
You mean it made the temperature go up?
I don't know, it's all dirty, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, it doesn't out here, because I'm in Wading River.
Uh-huh.
And everything is all messed up, you know?
Well, Wading River is Shoreham Wading River School District, so it's right, you're right smack next to the plant there. And while I'm not sure if the plant itself would be responsible for dirty beaches, there could be a lot of things we're not paying attention to, garbage and lots of boats and things like that could be responsible for that. Certainly, Shoreham isn't helping. I know one of the things, I don't think we played it on the tour, but one of the things the tour guide said to us when we were going through the plant was that the increase in water temperature that a nuclear power plant gives to the surrounding area is good for wildlife, and the animals just love it. It would be great if a nuclear power plant was all over the place. You know, every few feet there was a nuclear power plant, because then the wildlife would be thriving. And it's that kind of mentality that just drives me crazy. It's the same mentality that says trees cause pollution. You know,
yeah,
cause pollution.
I think that was either James Watt or Ronald Reagan that said that. I don't know. They were trying to justify smokestacks. Now, are you a taxpayer of Shoreham Wading River area?
Yeah.
Now, I know Lilco pays quite a bit of the taxes there, the school taxes, and now without the plant being there, that's no longer going to be the case. Do you have mixed feelings about that?
Well, taxes are probably going to go up.
Uh-huh.
It's probably going to be, you know, pain, you know, but, hey, I'd rather get rid of the plant, you know, because, you know what it's like to evacuate people from around here in Wading River, you know, I mean, the roads are going to be so piled up, I mean, by the time you get out of here, everybody's going to be annihilated.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant sight to... I mean, you know, people on Long Island, they pretty much just want to hang out and relax and get away from the city. We don't want to think about evacuation, you know? I mean, a brownout isn't exactly nice, but it's not the worst thing in the world either if we have to live with that. I really don't think we have to. I think there are power options.
Yeah.
And I think we're capable of solving these problems without risking our lives so much.
Yeah. Like the city survives without nuclear power. You know?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I don't know if you've ever been to the city and have gone over the Queensborough Bridge, but there's a power plant there. I believe it's an oil plant or something. It's got little red and white smokestacks, just like Port Jefferson.
Yeah.
It's right next to Roosevelt Island. Con Edison had originally wanted to make that a nuclear power plant, right smack next to New York City.
What that would do? Boom.
I mean, you have to wonder, where are these people? What are they thinking of?
It's some psycho from New York, and you got plenty of them over there, you know? Some guy would probably come by and want to blow up the world, you know?
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Yes, good day.
Take care. 632-6901 is our phone number, and I think we're getting a pretty fair representation of Long Island opinion on this matter.
Hmm.
It's, you know what's interesting, though, Jim? I don't know if you've been reading Newsday or have been reading Newsday over the last few years. They were one of the last holdouts. That newspaper kept printing editorials saying Shoreham should open.
Yes.
Long after everyone else said it should close. They kept saying, we're being silly. You know, we're wasting time. We're wasting money. Let's open the plant and put it all behind us.
Well, yes, I have to think that they were thinking from the standpoint of calculated risk that they felt it wasn't likely that there would be an accident. And let's say, okay, if it's not at all likely that there'd be an accident, one has to look at it from the standpoint of what you were talking about before, the ability to control or minimize loss once an accident does occur. In other words, if it was possible that I'm trying to think of a good example. Well, all I'm saying is that even if it's a very minuscule chance that there's going to be an accident there, if the implications are so staggering as they are in the case of Shoreham having an accident.
Especially Long Island.
Specifically for Long Island, yes.
Unique geographical location.
Right, exactly. Then I suppose that Newsday's thinking from an editorial standpoint was that it wasn't untoward to endorse the opening of the plant because they felt that if something goes wrong, that the likelihood was so slim that anything would go wrong. Let's put it that way, because I'm sure that the people who wrote the editorials at Newsday, and I'm not trying to be sardonic when I say this, are familiar with Long Island's geography and are familiar with the logistics of an evacuation or of the near impossible logistics of an evacuation. But I suppose they were going on the assumption that it just really would never happen.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a very silly assumption to go under. I mean, it's happened twice already.
But
not major things, but
right.
Certainly things that that cause people to panic
right.
and worry. And that's the worst thing, when you're constantly worried about something. Why put ourselves through it?
Sure, exactly. That's why I was saying, what do you think, let's say if you're somebody that's involved with setting editorial policy or actually writing, the people who write the editorials might not be the only ones who set the policy, but if you were involved with setting editorial policy, how do you think, what do you think would be in your mind as far as coming out in favor of opening the plant?
Give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516, talking about the death of Shoreham. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, you guys holding there?
Excuse me?
You guys holding there?
Are we what?
Holding
man, you got...
Holding.
Got stuff.
Holding, what are we holding? No, you're on the air. Do you want to be on the air?
Yeah, who is this, man?
Oh, never mind. You see, now that's the perfect reason, okay? That is a Long Islander. Now, what is a person like that going to do if those sirens go off? Think about it. Just think about it. For God's sake. Ah, and, you know, another thing that Newsday does that really gets me is they keep saying that they have to build a bridge over Long Island Sound from Port Jefferson to Bridgeport or someplace like that. Nobody around here wants that. But they say it's inevitable. We have to do it. You know, I don't think they represent us at all. I don't think they know what Long Island wants. They think we want Shoreham. They think we want a bridge. They think we want the Long Island Expressway to loop around and go into all of our driveways and go everywhere. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't think they know what Long Island is really all about.
Well, it's surprising. But again, I wonder what... apart from what they actually would say in the editorials, what's in the mind of somebody who certainly, I mean, I wouldn't call these people fools by a long shot.
Which people?
Well, the people at Newsday. I mean, I wouldn't say that they're like fools, that they don't have the ability to comprehend
would
the implications.
I would put them on notice that I intend to call them fools if they don't start sharpening up their logic a little
bit.
But
that's why I'm wondering whether they were going on the basis of likelihood and felt, well, no, it just won't happen.
Uh-huh.
Or it's such a minuscule chance, it's not worth worrying about. Whether they were thinking, I'm not going to stop walking out onto the street because I'm going to be worried that a branch from a tree will break and fall on my head.
Uh-huh.
So it's unlikely enough that I should continue to walk out on the street. And, in other words, I'm wondering, were they thinking that the likelihood is so slim that it makes sense to come out in favor. But what mystifies me is that I'm sure they had to know the implications of an accident, however unlikely it might have been, taking place. And the complete breakdown, I mean, apart from the physical catastrophe, the initial direct physical dangers, the attendant disruption of the entire social order or structure or fabric where panic comes into play. And this is understandable. See, these would be understandable emotions in people. If those sirens were to go off and it would turn out to be a real accident and a serious accident and people have to evacuate.
Right.
And people are, most of them, I'm sure, are conscious enough of the implications of what's happening.
Well, the implications, I think, are that no one really knows what's happening. Propane, you know it's going to explode. You know it's going to, you know, level things.
Yeah.
But that's going to be it. It explodes. Okay, it's over. With nuclear power, you don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, once an accident would happen, that people would be aware that there is the possibility that even as they're leaving, even if they're able to get away, the question is how much radiation are they absorbing at that point?
Right.
And what kind of a time bomb, so to speak, is it that even if they make it out safely, and even if they're not injured initially, is it going to hit them at some point down the line where they're going to develop some catastrophic illness, their children or grandchildren or whatever develop a catastrophic illness? And by children, I mean whether it's offspring that exists or is as yet unborn. And then what do they do? How do the people feel about coming back to their home when it's presumably safe to do so after the accident? And what are the implications about living there and drinking the water there and eating the food there? And if they haven't gotten hit with anything when they first evacuated, would they be hit with something when they've returned and are living there? And it must be that someone who would support, who is reasonably intelligent, who would still support the opening of the plant, would have to be of a frame of mind where they were playing the percentages and they just felt, well, yes, it would be horrendous. I don't think they would deny that it would be horrendous, that if any of these things actually came true, I don't think they'd say, no, it's not so bad. I do think that I'm just guessing, but I do think that the deep down inside, what they're saying to themselves is, it just isn't going to happen. And I just feel that this is what is in the minds of people who who felt that it was okay to open. I mean, because to me, I mean, even though politics enters into it tremendously, and I'm not downplaying the role of politics in this by a long shot, to me, this is one of those issues that absolutely transcends politics and that goes beyond any traditional definitions politically of a Democratic, Republican, conservative, liberal, moderate, whatever label that there is.
It does transcend that, because one thing you saw with this entire battle was liberal and conservative alike join in opposing this plant. And I think that's what helped so much is the...
Yes.
Everyone realized that, yes, that it was crazy. It was a crazy idea.
Right, right.
And I'm not one of these people that are against high technology.
No,
but you have to think. You have to think a little bit before you go surging ahead. And it's quite possible that nuclear power will have a future in certainly in rocket propulsion and all kinds of other things. But I just see us putting too much faith in something we don't know enough about at the moment, and we really need to study a little bit more before we start putting it in practical applications and risking the lives of hundreds of thousands of people.
Absolutely.
So, for that matter, I guess we all should be breathing a big sigh of relief.
Definitely.
At this moment.
Definitely. Something I was going to say, and it leapt out of my mind.
Well, Jim, I'm gonna give you about 2 minutes to think about it, because we're going to play a song now that you won't, I guess, hear too much more, because it's over. It's going to be over. It's finished. There's no need to keep playing this kind of music, but it's something that you might want to look back on and sort of remember this period of time when we were all worried and thinking about this horrible thing rising up over the horizon in Shoreham. And well, let's just listen to it and see what kind of feelings it evokes.
There's a place in the news that everyone knows. Built to save money, but it costs lots of dough. Was in the billions for a reactor core. A cooling system, what's a few billion more? They say there's no way.
Whatever you do, just keep that out of my way.
Right on.
They say there's no
Oh, yeah. The Shoreham Blues here on WUSB. Now, I'm told that's a USB exclusive, and it's by a band either called the Leros or the Lears, because someone typed it, and the what might be an E is just a big black hole, so it's either Leros or I don't know, L-E-R something S.
Like maybe the pen had a meltdown or something.
I don't know, but the Shoreham Blues here on USB.
And now, I was going to say, now we can think of the term Shoreham Blues as having to do with beautiful skies over Shoreham.
Oh, that's something we can look forward to again. Our number is 632-6901. That call just went away.
Dear.
Somebody was calling, and they were calling from on campus, too, I could tell, because the ring is different when they're calling from on campus. And I was curious who was going to be on campus, because the entire campus is deserted. I mean, there's no school here at the moment. Mm. And everything's shut down and closed, sort of like Shoreham's going to be. So, give us a call, 632-6901, whether you're on campus or off campus. We have about 2 minutes left before we have to get out of here. And give us your final feelings on Shoreham. Jim, did you have any final feelings?
Yes, I remember what I was going to say before, that as far as transcending politics, I think it also transcended the issue of pro or against business, it became a question not of pro-big business in terms of Shoreham being a major corporation or anti-big business, as much as I think many people just came to realize, regardless of their feelings about big business, that whatever cost factors were involved in opening or not opening, that money would become meaningless, once again, if there was a catastrophe, that what would be the sense of anything, so to speak, if something that horrendous did take place. And
plus just the mismanagement and ineptitude that became so so obvious after the hurricane. Mm-hmm. We just saw how these people really didn't know what their left hand was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their left hand didn't know what their left hand was doing, let alone their right hand. So, you know, that you want to put your lives in the hands of people that obviously don't know what they're doing?
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a question where it's not necessarily that it's just big business itself that's a problem. It's just if a business, any kind of businesses or entity, is not being operated properly or managed properly, that's more the key. I still don't. Even if things seem to be very well run after the hurricane, I still don't think that would have been a reason to open Shoreham.
Oh, no,
I'm just
no.
suggesting that. That a more far-thinking management, let's say at the present, would not want to get itself involved in a venture where, even again, if it's really unlikely that something would happen, that once it did, there would be no meaning to business at all.
Uh-huh.
If there was an accident, what would be the sense of anything? And so there are certain areas from which people should steer clear, no matter how profitable or cost-effective something would seem to be, if the destruction that's wrought, if a problem develops, is so major, then I think terms like cost-effectiveness, et cetera, just become meaningless. And that's why I wonder whether certain individuals within the corporate structure of Lilco might be privately heaving a sigh of relief.
Well, it's a heck of a lot of responsibility when every life on the island is riding on your responsibility and corporate management and that kind of thing. So, yes, I would say quite a few people in Lilco are sleeping easier now. But I'll say this in closing, that Long Island has really done something to be proud of. We're 3-for-3. We stopped the nukes at Lloyd Harbor, we stopped the nukes at Jamesport, and now we stopped them at Shoreham. There is not one nuclear power plant on this island, and I don't think after this there ever will be. So that's something to look at and be thankful for.
Oh, yes.
And well done, Long Island, I guess is the expression I'm looking for. And I don't know what the next project is. Perhaps the next project will be just to preserve what we have here, because we certainly have a lot that's well worth preserving. So next time you see a mall springing up next to you, say something about it. You know, don't do that. You know, don't knock down any more trees. It's not a nice thing to do. But that's a topic for another show, I guess. And that moment of silence was in memory of Shoreham. Jim, I want to thank you for coming by.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank myself for being here, Eric Corley, for Brain Damage. The brothers are coming up next with Lobotomy, and of course we have Power Surge later on in the evening, and finishing it all off with what, Morningstar?
Morningstar,
yes.
Laz gets it cranking again in the morning.
Laz, and it just keeps going. It never stops. The machine of USB is one thing that will never be shut down. So,
but it can be toxic.
It can be very toxic and radioactive. It's 11:59.
But you don't have to evacuate.
No. Well, it can be helpful sometimes. We'll be back again next week with Brain Damage every Saturday from 10 to 12. Be good, Long Island, and have lots of fun. Go out, enjoy yourself. Take a trip to Shoreham and see what a nice North Shore community should look like. See you next week.
The lunatic is on the grass, remembering games, daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonnet faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. The lunatic is in my head.